Good morning, 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. How are you doing today? I am doing great. Trevor Ray here with you. I'm here till 10 o'clock this morning. Joining us, we have Scott Breading of River Rockian and Bait Shop for our Shawamigan Bay Fishing Report. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, not bad for a foggy day in northern Wisconsin. You know, people are having beautiful, you know, fishing, beautiful days in northern Wisconsin with a Father's Day weekend behind us, you know, with your first Father's Day weekend behind you. And you know, my weekend was filled with spending time with my boys and grandson and granddaughter, and it was just a fantastic weekend. I did not get out fishing. I was going to get out on Sunday. My plan was to get out there fishing, but weather is such a factor up here, and as it is today, foggy and going to be a little difficult to get out on the lake. You know, we're talking a little bit about, you know, nearshore fishing and fishing inland and fishing off the docks. Boy, a lot of people are fishing nearshore, fishing off the docks. There's so much to do up here. A lot of fun, and just stopping by, picking up crawlers. Just so much to do, and it's been just spending time with the family. This weekend I cooked out and just relaxed. And how about you?
Same. First Father's Day. Little Ted listened the other day when I said all I want is a couple hours straight sleep. He did that. He's starting to sleep a little bit better. He's about every 4 hours.
Yeah.
He's up. He needs something about every 2, 3, 4 hours. And so got some sleep. Did a little fishing on Sunday. Got out a little bit that afternoon and just kind of hung out. It was nice.
Well, I was going to go out trolling on Sunday. Got up and the whitecaps were rolling pretty
good walleye chop this weekend out there.
Oh, boy. You know, it was blowing northeast, about 20 out of the northeast, and it was chilly. And I asked the boys, I says, guys, you want to go out there and battle it, or you want to sleep in today? And my boys, Colin and Riley, they both looked at me and they said, I think we're going to sleep in today. So that's, you know, I was okay with that. And I think Colin and I are going to get out this afternoon. We're going to go see if we can find some bass on an inland lake. So that's what we're going to do today. After I go into work and do a little bookkeeping today and get in a couple orders. But that's this afternoon. We're going to go see if we can find some bass on an inland lake.
Fishing going good out there on the bay and inland lakes?
You know, the trolling has been phenomenal. I think they're getting a little deeper. There's still a lot of surface fish being caught. You got to get out a little further. Water's warming up. Water's clearing up. The walleye in the bay are still doing very well. I see guys fishing down there off of what we used to call Johnson's Beach or the Pig Iron, and there's still a good fair number of guys fishing in there. I know the guys down at the Cahoga Sloughs have been doing pretty good down there for walleye, and the smallmouth bite is just on fire, and people are doing very well. We haven't had a big bug bite or a bug hatch yet, so that bite is not has not happened yet because our cool nights. And, and you know, when they're talking in the upper 30s at night, that's going to be a while before we're going to see that. And so this will just drag out our good walleye bite. It'll drag out our smallmouth bite in nearshore, you know, flat 10-foot or less bite. And it won't bring them up onto the top. And it won't slow down that walleye bite, because what happens is that walleye bite, you know, we get that mayfly hatch, and they'll get engorged with those mayfly larvae. And it just slows down that walleye bite. And those fish are just spitting up the those mayfly larvae when you do catch them. So you're not competing with that. Guys that have been out trolling, though, the fish they are catching are just full of black flies. So we're going to see a black fly hatch when we get a warm south wind. We're going to see a real heavy black fly hatch, unfortunately. And it's probably going to be pretty miserable out on the lake for a little while. We haven't seen that yet, thank God. And we'll when it does happen, we'll let you know. You're just going to have to find a place, other beaches or other areas to go to. It's just a big area out there. We can move away from the flies and find an area to find shelter, or just move to the other side of the island.
When do those hatches normally happen?
You know, it usually is, unfortunately, the last couple weeks of June or right around the 4th of July. We'll get hatches throughout the islands or throughout the Shawamigan Bay area. And a cool night will knock them back down. So we'll see it stretch out. And, you know, we'll get Jeff Evans. He'll be on a little later on the show. We'll get a good report from Jeff, and he'll give us an update of what he's seeing out there on bug hatches. And Jeff does hit quite a few different areas from Hayward all the way up to Ashland. And so he'll give us a little bit of insight of what's going on out there for bug hatches also. So we'll get a good report there.
Luckily, it's going to stay cold. It looks like it's going to stay pretty cool for the next week or so. So those bug hatches probably going to hold off for at least this week into next week.
Yeah, you know, and fortunately, you know, looking at the weather patterns, there was a low pressure over Minnesota that was supposed to hit us this weekend, and we didn't get the storms that they were predicting.
No, so, we did not.
At least we didn't get all that rain that they were saying we were going to get. It held off, and, you know, if it's a 50-50 chance that we're going to get rain and we don't get it, I'm okay with that.
So, coin flip turned up heads that time.
Yeah. So we'll take it. This lake does control that weather pattern and keeps that weather a little bit further away from us. And it stalled over in Minnesota. They can have that rain, I guess. So let them have it, and we'll take another foot of that moisture right off the top of this lake and lower the lake level for us.
I was going to ask you about that. I was out this weekend, and it seems like the lake is high. Just looking at the shorelines and everything, it seems up, but I'm not sure. I can't gauge it off of anything. I'm just going off of how it looks to me. Is it up? Is it up a few feet?
It's record high. It is record high, and like we've said previously, it is kicking a lot of debris into the lake, and so with any kind of wind action, any kind of wave action, it's carrying any debris back into the lake. And that debris is floating around out there. So please wear your life jackets when you're out there on your boat, because if you do hit something with your boat, it could throw you out of your boat. So wear your life jackets if you're out there, and keep an eye out for logs and debris in the water, because it can make a bad day even worse.
What's it going to take for that water level to go down? Just weeks of drought, just no rain, no moisture in the area, or does it just kind of naturally work its way out through the course of a summer?
It's going to take a lack of moisture throughout the whole region. A reduction in a lot of moisture. We don't want a drought. We don't need to turn it completely
flip
off
that switch.
Yeah, we don't want to turn it off that drastic, but we need to slow it down all the way around. We need moisture, but we don't need the torrential rains that we've had when it comes in 3-4 inches at a crack to, you know, like they've had in localized areas of 13 to 15 inches. We don't need that. That just damages the environment also. So we just need, you know, a good soaker every so often and keep things nice and green and steady.
Well, I was talking to Adri at home this weekend, and last year over Father's Day weekend, that's when we had the big rains last year. Last year was when we had all those roads washed out. Everything was all that damage, all that destruction. They were canoeing, I think, through downtown Ashland. They had their kayaks and canoes out because of all that rain. But last year, I think over Father's Day, that was the 13, 14, 15 inches of rain.
Yeah, it was. It was an ugly, ugly Father's Day. I just planted some grass on a piece of property down by River Rock. And, they were floating kayaks right down 12th Avenue West. Unbelievable. It was ugly.
So this Father's Day, things were a little bit nicer. We had a better Father's Day this year versus last year.
Yeah, we did. And even though it was a little cool at night and a little bit of wind, people were still getting out and fishing. There were guys up in Corny with a fishing tournament up there. Some great success stories of people catching some nice fish. They had close to 50 boats up there, and there were a few guys that talked about being green at the gills from being out on the water with the high winds and some of the waves, but a lot of success. Some nice fish, some nice lake trout, some few nice salmon being caught up there, and they put a heck of a nice tournament on there with the Lions Club up there in Cornucopia, and they have a nice Father's Day tournament. Great show up there. And a lot of fun that they do every Father's Day. So it's one of those that I suggest if you're a troller and want to get into a good fishing tournament, the Father's Day fishing tournament up there put on by the Lions Club every year that they do up in Cornucopia. A lot of fun. They do it right.
You ever fish tournaments?
You know, I do. I haven't this year. Saxon Harbor, hopefully they come back with their fishing tournament when they come back online. Hopefully by the end of the summer, that harbor's back open from their horrendous flood that they had 4 years ago, I believe, 3 years ago. They put on a heck of a fishing tournament, a two-day show, and it's a lot of fun. It's mainly a lake trout, salmon fishing tournament, salmon and browns, but mainly lake trout, a lot of fun. And there's the one up at Corny that they put on, but they're a lot of fun. You get it's all amateurs, you know. I say amateurs, we're all amateurs when we're out there fishing, but you know, when you're out there, it's supposed to be all about enjoying your day and catching fish and the camaraderie of the rest of the guys that are out there, guys and gals that are fishing. Nobody wants to claim that they know it all about it, but it's about just getting out there and having fun with the group.
Absolutely. Not a bad day ever when you're ever on the water. We're going to have Jeff Evans joining us here in just a few minutes. 19 minutes past 6 o'clock here on Real Rock G96. It's the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. Welcome back to our Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. Scott Breding here with me, trying to get a hold of Jeff Evans as we try to track him down. Any idea where he is, Scott?
He was talked to him last night, and he had a trip early this morning, so he might be in a dead zone on his phone, so I think he's driving towards Hayward.
There's quite a bit of dead zones, too, as you start working your way south once you get into Hayward.
Yep. But he promised me he'd be in a clear area about right about now, but you never know with this fog. He might have gotten a little late start, like I did this morning. I was out chasing dog this morning, and I got a little late start. That dog didn't want to come back in this morning. Good thing he's got a little Ben Franklin on his collar, but he pays attention to that sometimes. But makes him move a little slower.
You corralled him, though. You got him in. Were you out there chasing him around the fields?
No. He goes into the woods at my house, unfortunately. And I think he peeks around the tree and says, there's Scott looking for me. And then he peeks around and hides behind the next tree. But yeah, that's pets for you. But what do you do?
What can you do? Well, Jeff will be joining us in a second. He's going to fish inland. Has he been out on the Big Bay at all?
Yeah, you know, Jeff was out yesterday, and he had a great day, I believe, catching some bass and a few walleye yesterday. So we'll get a good report from how he did yesterday. So, and we'll get a report on that. And I believe he's been doing real well with the walleye, with the bass. He's pretty much into the bass this time of year, and that's the depth of it. And I know he's been trying to get some of the big pike that are out there. So that's been the challenge lately is big pike. And we've been getting a lot of guys that have been coming in lately and getting some of the bigger northern suckers and going after the big pike. And there has been some huge pike being caught out here lately. I had one of the old timers in the other day, and he was walleye fishing down in the Caucaugan Slough area. He's got a cabin down there. And he had on a walleye, and he was reeling it in, and up came, he calls it his gator. And it grabbed onto his walleye. And he knew he wasn't going to get the pike in the boat, but he said that pike was over 50 inches.
Wow.
And now he's down there chasing that pike. And he knows where that fish is because he knows it's in this hole down there.
It's his white whale now.
Yeah. And he's down there just to get a picture of it. He wants to catch this fish, get a picture of it, and put it back. But he's been in getting suckers, and he's going to catch this fish, and he's fishing it just like a muskie.
That's how I would fish that thing. Yep. That probably acts a lot like a muskie.
Yeah, he's putting big suckers out there, and he's had it on, and he said it came towards the boat, and he cannot get it hooked up to where he can get it in the net. And I got another guy that's been coming into the shop every day, and he's picking through my sucker minnows, and I don't let a lot of guys do this. I probably shouldn't let some of these secrets up because I have everybody coming in picking through my sucker minnows, but he picks through the sucker minnows because he's got certain ones that he likes, and I'm not going to tell all of his secrets, but and there are certain things that he looks for on these sucker minnows, certain marks, because he thinks that they attract the northerns. But he's down fishing around the power plant, and he is catching some huge northern every day. And he's not keeping them. He's letting them go, but he's having a lot of fun with them. And he said that there are some Northerns down there that are in the mid 40-inch range. And, you know, that is just a heck of a sport fish to be catching. And he said that they're down there in good numbers. And he's, you know, they're in the weed beds down there. And they're targeting them and hitting them with both casting and hitting them on live bait. And they're throughout the bay out here. So these guys are chasing these larger Northern, and just like they would a muskie. And they're in the mid to upper 40-inch range, and what a fight. And a real good numbers that they're seeing. So, you know, that's kind of neat to see that these guys are going after some of those fish and catch and release these fish, not going out there and just filling up a cooler full of big fish to pickle.
How come more people don't go fishing for these big Northerns? I know, talking to you, talking to some of the guides we've had on, that it's just a fish that doesn't get targeted as much as it should over the course of the summers. There's just other game fish out there that are just more appealing to go after than these big Northerns, or why aren't people targeting those big fish?
Well, I think the habitat changes real quick out here. The weed patterns grow up, these weed beds grow up, and there's a lot of cover for these fish. So they're out there hiding in these weed beds. So the fish are in these weed beds that are, you know, real, real thick, hard to get those fish out of. And so you're in those beds that are just thick weeds, and they're full of bait fish for them. So you got to get into those weed beds with the bait fish, and then you got to be able to get in between those weed beds with your bait. And so it takes a lot of scouting. Takes a lot of planning, and they change quick. You get a little bit of wind, and the wind moves the weed beds around, knocks some of the vegetation down on one side, pushes it over on the other side. So, you know, you got to get out there and kind of troll around it and plan your day, you know, plan your move or attack on the weed bed. And as it grows up, with the sun beating on them, they grow up real quick.
How are those weed beds starting to look out there? You go out there, I've seen some people trolling around and pulling some big weeds out when they get snagged out there. But are the weeds starting to grow with the warm weather?
They're starting to grow as water clears up. That's part of the thing with this cloudy water. They don't grow as fast. So it's slow growth, which is not a bad thing. So they're going to get a little bit longer chance at catching the walleyes that are out here, and I think targeting these Northern. So I think that's why some of these guys are targeting these fish and hitting them down in the head of the bay a little longer than normal. I think we'll see it for another couple weeks out here, where these guys will be able to target these walleyes in the head of the bay and target some of the other fish out there. And, I haven't seen too many guys down here trolling for some of the salmon that typically can be in here this time of year. But there tends to be some of the salmon still hang out there. The coho can hang out here if the water's still cool. So they can tend to be in there. And the browns are out there. So maybe, you know, guys will be out there trolling along the Washburn side of the bay and hitting the salmon and the browns over on that Washburn side of the bay for a little bit before those weeds start coming up.
So once those weeds come up, the salmon head back out. They head out by the islands more, and then the game fish, the other game fish, the walleyes, the smallies, the Northerns, they kind of all start moving in more towards the end of the bay down by here by Ashland.
Well, they try to get to a little deeper water where they get during the day, get a little deeper, darker water, and get out of that warmer water and a brighter water. That brighter water is a little tougher to get fish out of. And if that bright water doesn't tend to produce the fish, fish might be there, but it's just hard to get them to want to attack or attract to your bait. So you gotta change it up. As that sun comes up, your bait presentation changes so fast. So what works at 9 o'clock in the morning, by 11 o'clock, you could change your bait. You could change the presentation of it, because the color of that bait can be so drastically different of what it was at 9 o'clock. And the clarity, the reflection off the water can change so much in that short period of time. And so that's why when it's deeper, You don't have that. And the water can clear up out here so fast that will change that clarity on what's happening out here.
I'm glad you said that, because I've never been on a body of water where the clarity, where the just the conditions of your fishing can change with the drop of a hat. You snap your fingers, that wind changes. Next thing you know, you got the 3-foot rollers coming in on you. I've just never seen that before on a body of water. And I'm sure it probably has to do more with just the size of a body of water that the bay has versus some of the other lakes. Like, I mean, I'm from northern Minnesota, so you go out on a Leech Lake or a Red Lake. Those are big bodies of water, but they just don't compare to this size, and they don't, with the way the winds can change, the way the winds are out here, and just the way things are, it doesn't, you could, just like that, next thing you know, you've got to switch, and you got to go to a different side of the bay to get away from that wind, get away from the rollers coming in.
Yeah, and we don't have those rock bars, we don't have the drop-offs like you have on a lot of these other lakes. So it's 12 foot across all the way, and it doesn't change drastically like some of those bigger bodies of water like Leech Lake and some of the Canadian waters. They just don't drop off as quick. So the fish are a little more spread out here. They're not as drastically change of structure out here. So we're gonna see fish out here spread out, not as schooled up. So we're out here a lot more territory around spread out to get fish throughout the bay. We're gonna spend a lot more territory to get numbers, and we're not gonna see a huge school of fish in one area. So we're gonna spend more time in a larger area than we are going over one smaller. You know, it's not gonna be a school. It's gonna be a quality of fish and not quantity of fish.
And it's definitely, you can definitely tell that when you're driving by and you see people out, you never see a lot of people in one area on the lake. It's always boats scattered across the entire lake. And is that just because of what you're just saying? You gotta be moving. You gotta be out there. You gotta travel, because those fish are traveling. It's a huge body of water, and they're not gonna be in one spot every day.
Exactly. You can be, you get out further out of the bay. There's some areas that are a little more concentration, a little heavier concentration of lake trout in some areas, or the browns would be a little more concentrated in some areas. But the walleyes in the bay, they're spread out throughout the bay, and you just got to cover some area and cover a huge area. The smallmouth, there are some areas where there's some concentration of smallmouth, and you can target them in a little tighter area. But the walleye, you just got to cover a lot bigger area.
And walleye, they're so finicky as it is. You could put that I've been out there. You put that worm right in front of their face. You're hitting them on top of the head with your jig head. And they whatever you do, they still don't want to eat it. So those walleye, if you got to travel and they're finicky as it is, that's just tough fishing right there.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge all the time. Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break. We're gonna still try to track down Jeff.
Yeah, we'll see. He's lost in the fog.
He's making his way.
I just hope he's okay.
Hopefully, okay. Just stop Jeff before you get in the water. Make sure you turn around and put the boat in first. Yeah. But we're going to try tracking down Jeff Evans. We'll see if we can get him on here in just a few minutes. 6:38 now on Real Rock J96. It's the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. Welcome back. We were able to track him down. We have Jeff Evans with Jeff Evans Fishing Guides. Jeff, how you doing?
Good morning, Trevor. Aside from a few phone issues, we're doing okay.
Yeah. Morning, Jeff. We were worried about you. Thought you maybe got lost in the fog.
Just a few phone issues this morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, that stuff happens.
You got it.
Yeah. Where are you heading today?
Heading down to Hayward.
Yeah.
Just getting the boat hooked up and ready to roll here.
Yeah, is she foggy down that way?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's foggy in Ashland. Boy, is it's like pea soup up here.
Yeah, I was out there yesterday on the bay. It was actually nice, beautiful day.
How'd you do yesterday?
Really good, really good. Smallmouth bass fight was really good. Just kind of steady throughout the day. I think we ended up boating around 30 fish, so...
Any walleye yesterday?
We did not catch any walleyes yesterday. And the guys I've been talking to, it's been really kind of hit and miss. There were a few guys I saw out that were trolling, and they all kind of dissipated about mid-morning. So I'm guessing if they were snapping yesterday, it was probably an early morning thing.
Okay. Any gators out there? You doing any good on any big northern?
Yeah, actually we have been. Just about every trip we'll stumble into one or two. Yesterday we got one real decent one, and there are still, those spot-tail shiners have hatched. That's what those smallmouth bass, and I'm sure the walleyes too, are chasing around in the shallow water. You see these big balls of bait fish moving around, and then you'll see fish kind of boiling on them and swirling on them.
Yep. Are you seeing any bug bite or bug hatches down there?
No, I haven't seen any real big bug hatches yet. I haven't, but you know, it's still really cold up there. I actually swung in the sand cut, and that water temperature had dropped down to 58 degrees in some parts of sand cut, which is pretty crazy.
That's crazy. I saw the news last night that the weather, the girl on the weather, Channel 6, she was talking about putting an ice cube out there, see if it's, how long it's going to take to melt on that cold water out there.
Yeah, it is. I actually couldn't believe it when I looked on my screen. I had to kind of take a double take and realize it actually was saying 58 degrees yesterday. That was really nuts.
You're going on to Hayward today, Jeff?
That's right, Trevor.
What are you trying to target today?
We're going to be doing smallmouth bass in the morning and walleyes in the afternoon.
So a busy day. You got it all lined up today.
Yes, sir.
What are you using down in those inland lakes down by Hayward?
Right now the smallmouth bass pond down there is starting to wrap up. So all those fish are moving off in nests, and they're going to hang around those shallow rock and gravel flats now for a while. As long as the water stays cool, which is kind of a good thing right now, those fish will stay shallow, and we're actually, we should get a really good topwater bite going, which is always a lot of fun. And the walleye bite is really starting to crank. The weed beds are starting to pop up, and a lot of walleyes are pushing into those weed beds. And, you know, on themed water lakes, it's usually 4 to 6 feet of water, and on a clear water lake, you find it usually around 12 to 15 feet of water.
The smallmouth bite that you're catching down in those inland lakes, is it pretty similar to how it's going up here on the bay?
Yeah, actually a lot of the same type of stuff we're using exactly. A lot of slow sinking plastic, suspending jerk baits, things like that.
Is it a slow? Are you fishing them slow, fast? What kind of action?
Actually, as you get into post-spawn, Trevor, you can actually fish a little bit faster, especially when you get water temperatures are kind of up in the mid-60s now. And depending on the day, you might even see 70 degrees. So you can actually fish a little bit faster than you're used to before the spawn.
Are you seeing with our crazy weather patterns going on up here? Are you seeing much thunder and lightning down there changing your patterns up much?
You know, yeah, and that's a good question because it has been. I mean, it's like the next day we've got northeast winds, and really has been hard to put 3 or 4 days of stable weather together. And it hasn't, I would say that it hasn't affected smallmouth and walleye fishing as much as you would think. The one thing that it has affected, crappie fishing, that's been really schizophrenic. I mean, one day we're finding fish in, you know, super shallow water. The next day they've moved out and they're out in deeper water. Actually, I would say it was 2 or 3 days ago, we caught spawning fish still that were up in 2 feet of water.
Really? Yeah, because a lot of the guys are just, I think they've given up on the crappie bite because of that. And, I had guys in the shop the other day, they said, oh, geez, we got crappie bite that was just phenomenal last Thursday. And then they went on Friday, couldn't catch a fish. They thought, oh, it's over, it's done. So they were back to, chasing the walleye and giving up on the crappie, so.
Yeah, you know what, and I don't blame them because it really, what they were telling you is exactly what's been happening. It's been really hard to be consistent with it, and I totally would blame it on all the goofy weather that we've had. And the fact that, like I said, just a few days ago, we still have spawning crappies is kind of crazy at this time of year.
Does this fog change anything, how you're going to go out fishing?
No, it really doesn't, Trevor. I mean, it should burn off here within a couple of hours, you would think. Of course, up on Lake Superior, that's always a different story, so that could hang in there a little bit longer. But when you're down on the inland lakes, usually these fog events don't last too long.
Now, are you, you're going to head out, you're going to be down there probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock. So, yeah, it'll be cleared off up here. It could be noon, 1 o'clock before she burns off up here.
No, that's exactly. The big lake out there tells a little different story some days.
Yeah. You know, and that's the unfortunate thing up here, this the weather pattern up here. We haven't had much fog this year. It's just it's probably the first major fog that we're seeing, and it's supposed to rain the next couple days. But they've been predicting rain every day for the past about a week, and we haven't gotten any of it. or we've had it at night. So
I think those north winds must really be affecting that weather pattern. But no, you're exactly right. It's been kind of hard to trust that weather forecast day to day, especially up by Lake Superior now.
Yeah, the only way to predict is look out the window.
Well, yeah, yesterday when I headed over to Ashland yesterday, I was totally expecting we were going to get wet. And as the day went on, it just kind of kept getting nicer and nicer.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. Beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah, it was perfect.
We were talking earlier, Jeff, about how Lake Superior's up quite a bit. Are the inland lakes up at all? Water level?
Yeah, you know, I'd say water levels are up, but they're not crazy high, though. I mean, I'd say they're probably up a little bit on most lakes. But yeah, definitely we're at full pool, I'd say, everywhere we go.
Any good musky stories? You been throwing any of the big baits?
Yeah, actually, I had our first dedicated musky trip of the year about 3 days ago and had a young man named Wyatt Evans, no relation, but he's a heck of a fisherman, and he boated a nice 40-inch fish. His first time ever musky fishing and perfectly executed a figure eight right next to the boat and hung on until I could get the net underneath it.
Were you out there for all 10,000 of those casts, Jeff?
That's what I told him. I told him, I said, you're ruined now that this happened. He actually probably caught it within the first hour of the trip, so I don't know what we're going to do from here on out.
Yeah, well, you probably got him hooked for life now.
Yep. Yeah, I told his dad, I said, this is going to cost you a lot of money now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's the story. You know, you get them hooked on that first one, and you're hooked for life.
Yeah, he did a great job, and the guy did his best to rub the whole deal. I grabbed the net, and when I grabbed the net, I tangled it up in one of the rod holders. And so while he was hanging onto this fish thrashing by the side of the boat, I was sitting there trying to untangle the net from the rod holder. But thankfully, he had hooked it good enough that I was able to get it.
Yeah, it should have been on film probably, right?
Oh, boy, it would have been a heck of a show, that's sure.
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you get out going musky fishing, Jeff?
Oh, I mean, quite a bit, Trevor. It just kind of depends through the year, but I do a fair amount of musky trips as well. A lot of them are in the fall, so September and October, but I always sprinkle in a few here in June and July as well.
Well, Jeff, any events that we should be out here promoting right now?
Well, I tell you what, yesterday on Suwamigan Bay, one of the baits that I did really well on is that bait rig Grubmaster. If anybody has seen that, and what I do is I team that up with a 5-inch Lunker grub. That was a really good bait yesterday, and I suppose it's just kind of matching the hatch. You know, the fish are chasing those spot-tail shiners. So anything that you can find like that, or a spending jerkbait, you know, those T-bone psycho minnows also spend. That'd be another good bait I'd look at throwing.
Yeah, that's great.
Jeff, anything else before we let you go?
No, that's it. I mean, it's just a great time of year to be fishing. You know, water temperatures are a little cooler than we're used to seeing at this time of year, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. The longer those water temps stay cool, the longer fish will stay shallow, and that's usually a good thing for everybody.
Jeff, if people want to go fishing with you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Go to my website, Jeff. EvansFishing.com.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Good luck today.
Thanks, fellas.
That's Jeff Evans. He is a guide in the area. He's heading down to Hayward for today. And Scott, we got to wrap things up.
All right, Trevor. Well, appreciate it.
And Scott, you're with River Rock Inn and Bait Shop. What's the best way for people to find that?
Yeah, you know, Trevor, they can come on down to River Rock Inn and Bait Shop at 1200 West Lake Shore Drive, right across from the power plant. River Rock Inn and Bait Shop.
Sounds good, Scott. Thank you so much for coming out. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday, Trevor.